107.9.
Welcome to Kingdom City Church's prophetic radio broadcast with Prophet Brian Karn. Enjoy today's message.
The job of the enemy first is to distract you. And after he distracts you, he can dislocate you. He can get you out of place. Now, the job of the enemy is to get you out of the spirit. Now, a lot of you think being in the spirit means speaking in tongues, falling out, shouting, dancing, screaming. You can do all of that and still be in the flesh. Amen. Amen. St. John 6:63 declares, "It is the spirit that quickeneth, and the flesh profiteth nothing, but the words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit, and they are life." So when the Bible says walking in the spirit, it's nothing deep. It just means to walk in the word. And if you walk in the word, you won't fulfill the what? Lust of your flesh. So if he can dislocate you, get you out of place, then he can destroy you. Because if I get that fish out of water, then I can do whatever I want to do to him. So some of you are trying to defeat the enemy, and you're in the enemy's territory. Amen. Somebody call it snake zone. Amen. So you cannot rebuke the devil if you're in his territory. You'll have to get in the spirit so that you have power over the enemy. Say amen. That's how we're living in now, and we're going to have to get in his word. And I mean this, and I say this to you. I'm not going off on nobody. But I'm telling you this, some of you need to recognize, remember I said we got to treat our attention with respect, and we need to pay attention to our attention. And I told you the other night, I said, listen, if you can't sit in church, now of course some of us use our phones to take notes, we use our phones to, you know, do what we do, but if you can't sit in church for an hour or hour and a half without texting, that phone is your God. Amen. Man, God, somebody told me that I was talking about, they say, well, you know, probably you don't understand. I got, you know, they told me they had churn, and, you know, they churn, you know. They say, my child might call me. I say, listen, ain't nothing you can do if you here and they somewhere else. Ain't nothing you can do that prayer can't do. Amen, church. All right, so when you come in God's house and you come in here to give God his time, get love him enough to say, you know what, Lord, this your time. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Nothing else gets my attention. Nothing else. When I get in my word, it's one thing I don't do. Whenever I'm home and I decide to get in my word and study, I don't take no phone calls because God's talking to me. Amen. Amen. You can call me some other time. Amen. That's what call ID for. Say amen. Amen. That's how I know you call me. Praise God. So getting that word and studying. I mean, you got to labor in the word of God. I was just telling somebody that a minute ago. I said, listen, don't you for 1 minute think that I can get up here and preach what I'm preaching every week, not preaching the same message, unless I'm in the word of God. I ain't been passing 5, 10 years. I think this is number 2, about to be number 3 real soon. And, you know, when you've been pastoring 5, 10 years, 15 years, you can start recycling messages. I can't recycle yet. Say amen. Amen. I'm just in the beginning stages. Praise God. Amen. I preach the same thing. Someone say, Pastor, you preached that 2 weeks ago. You know. All right. So I have to go home and get in my word and study. All right. And, my grandmother told me the other day, she said, when do you, I don't never see you. You know, somebody asked me, do you study for a message? How do you know what you're going to preach? But I don't study to preach. I study to live. Yes. Amen. I don't read my Bible because I'm looking for an opportunity to preach. I'm go get my Bible, say, oh, I need to come up with a message. I study because I live by the word. And if while I'm studying the word of something pop out at me, I know that's what God want to talk about. Am I making sense? So yeah, I was studying and getting in my word and doing all those things, and the Spirit of God just brought to my attention and said, I want you to come in. He said, I want you to minister on the power of humility. He said, because my church is in trouble because we become so arrogant. Amen. So lift it up. Look at your whole row and say, you better humble yourself. Amen. Look at somebody else. Say, you better humble yourself. Let's go to 1 Timothy 3:6. When you have it, say, I got it. verse 73 and 6, God, the Bible declares, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. How many people know that if you're going to be in leadership, you need to have a spirit of humility? Yes. Y'all didn't say that with power. I said you need to have a spirit of humility. All right. And the thing that I told you is that the older you get in God, the more mature you get in God, or the older you live, if you got any sense, there are a lot of things that you used to believe that you no longer believe anymore. Life teaches you that everything is not black or white. That sometimes you go through some situations that don't turn out the way you want them to turn out. And it causes you to have an air of compassion. You're merciful to people because you recognize that even though you can speak this word, you can declare this word, you can do everything right, at the end of the day, God is still God. Yeah. Amen. Always remember that. Don't you never think for one minute you can make God do anything. Say amen. Amen. That's why we have a revelation here that God doesn't move because of your faith. He has already moved. He moved at Calvary. Whenever I demand the word of God, I'm not making God move. I'm putting a demand on what he has already done. Amen, church. All right. So so and I want you to understand that as you come into a revelation and a good understanding, amen, of the grace of God and the love of God and the mercy of God, it causes you to have an enormous amount of compassion because you know there are many situations in your life where you should have been dead. Yeah, yeah, come on, y'all better talk back to me in here. I say there are many situations in your life that you know you should have been dead. You shouldn't even be in here tonight. Some of you know it is nobody but God that has kept you. Amen. It is nobody but God that has sustained you, that has delivered you, that never gave you what you deserved. Amen. Look at somebody and say, I'm glad he didn't give me what I deserve. Amen. I'm glad that when I didn't talk to him, he didn't say, because you didn't pray today, I'm not going to bless you. Amen. Because you didn't fast today, I'm not going to love on you. I thank you that his love is eternal. Amen. His love is everlasting. Amen. And his love is unconditional. There's nothing I can do to change God's mind about me. Lay hands on yourself and say, God's in love with me. Don't be scared to say it. Come on. Say, God's in love with me. Say it again. God's in love with me. Now point at your neighbor. And I know your mama told you not to point, but I'm telling you to point. Point at your neighbor and say, God's in love with you. Amen. Amen. Not mad at you. He's not angry with you. He's not upset with you. But he loves you. Bless God. With an everlasting love. And I want to say this, that if you're going to be a leader, you're ever going to lead God's people, and you're going to be a leader and do anything, one thing about leaders, they have to be tested and tried. Amen. You cannot be a novice trying to lead people. Amen. You got to be tested and tried. Amen. You got to be willing to go through some things. Amen. Because before you preach it, you got to experience it. Say amen, church. Amen. So you got to be tested and tried and everything that you be. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 22. Matthew chapter 16, verse 22. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say glory to God.
Glory to God.
Matthew 16, 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Now, you know, this is when Jesus just told him he's getting ready to die. Remember that? Jesus is having a conversation with the disciples, letting them know that he's getting ready to die. And the Bible says Peter didn't want to hear that. Peter took him, began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Look at verse 23. But the Bible declares in the next verse, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. For thou savest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. I want to say something to you. Because God gave a prophecy and said what was getting ready to happen. And Peter, in his love, meant well, told God, no, that can't happen to you. And you would think that Jesus would have said, oh, I love you, Peter. thank you for wanting to look out for me, for having a good heart. You don't want me to die. But Jesus rebuked him, because he exalted his opinion over the will of God. And any time you exalt what you feel over what God has declared over your life, you are operating in a spirit of pride. Because whatever God says, that's what it is. Say amen. He exalted his opinion over God's will. He ended up being in his flesh. And because he said he was in his flesh, because he got in his flesh, it exalted him. And I'm going to tell you right now, what causes you to go your way over God's way, what causes you to do what you want to do over what God has commanded you to do, because you feel like your way is right and your way of handling things is right and your way of doing things is right. You must understand, the word of God addresses every situation in life that we are to ever deal with. God has commanded us to bless them that curse us. Amen. He's commanded us to do good to them that hate us. Pray for those that what? Despitefully use us. Amen. He's commanded us to do these things. This is not a suggestion. He said, a new commandment I give unto you. John 13:35. That's 34, verse 35. And by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. That's not a suggestion. You don't have a choice of whether you're going to love me or not. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to love me. It's not a choice. Amen. You gotta love me. You gotta treat me right. You have to honor me. You cannot be of God, listen to me, and be a respecter of persons. Amen. I can't treat you a certain way because of the way you look, or because of the way you act, or because of the way you do something. I determine that I'm not going to treat you this way, and I'm not going to treat you that way. That's not the love of God. If the love of God is in my heart, I am commanded to love you without partiality. But when I decide that I'm going to do what I want to do over what God has said, I've exalted myself, I'm operating in flesh, and I've opened the door to the spirit of pride. That's powerful. So when God tells me to do something, I have to do it. And when I try to come up with a different revelation, okay, you got to make sure you walk this thing out just like the word of God has commanded us to do. Jesus, the Bible declares in Hebrews chapter 2 that he was a man of like passions. Amen. He went through everything that we went through. And guess what? Had Jesus, watch this, had Jesus received the commandment, I hear people say he didn't have to do it, but he did. That's a lie. It sounds good for church. It's good preaching. But it's not Bible. He said, lo, I come in the volume of a book, and it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Amen. He came to die. And had Jesus said, I'm not going to die, I'm going to do what I want to do, guess what that is? Pride. And when God commands you to do something and tells you, go love on that sister, go bless that brother, go minister to that person over there walking across the street, when something come in you to pick up somebody on the side of the road and take them somewhere, but you allow your fear to hinder you from obeying. This is a quiet church. Amen. All of that's pride, because you're exalting how you feel and what you think over what God has commanded you to do. So many of us have missed God, and so many of us will continue to miss God, because we always weigh what God say with how we feel. And most times what God is going to have you to do is not going to line up with the way you feel. Amen. I want to let you know, the church God send you to ain't always going to be the church you want to be at. They're using that time. I don't even feel like I'm supposed to be there. That means you're at the right place.
But it's good for you. It's good.
Amen. Because you don't grow where you're comfortable. You grow where you're uncomfortable. And some of us, we miss it. We miss it because by nature, we are so carnal. We are so controlled by how we feel, what we see. We ain't nobody in there that look like me. I don't even see the kind of people. I'm different. I'm not like them. I don't do this. And all of this, if you notice, your whole statement is about yourself. Prophet Khan, you preaching. Y'all know I don't need no amens. I know I'm preaching. So had Jesus said, no, I ain't going to die. No, I ain't going to do it. Guess what that would have been? Pride. Would have been pride. Jesus, watch this. Jesus could have escaped many situations. He told them, I can call a legion of angels. Don't you sit here for 1 minute and think I'm on this cross because I got to be here. I can call on a legion of angels, and a legion of angels will get me out of this. But if I call the angels, I'm operating in pride because I'm exalting myself. Y'all missed that. The Bible says that when Jesus was led to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, right? The Bible declares that the first thing Satan tried to do was get him to turn stones into bread. Now, the reason he didn't do it is because had Jesus ever shown those people who he really was, they wouldn't have killed him. They wouldn't have killed him. If they seen a man turning stones in the bread, if this man showed who he really was, they would have never killed him. So the Bible say he humbled himself and took upon him the form of a servant. And until you are able to be anointed and not show it off, you gotta be careful now when you go to, I know who I am in the Lord. I know what God told me. Can't nobody tell. See, that's not God. Jesus never made anybody receive his message. Never. And when you get into a place where you're trying to make somebody listen to you, you're not in the spirit of God. Jesus said, take my yoke and learn of me. What am I? Meek and low. So I tell y'all folk, they're talking some of the power on you so strong, you can't control yourself. That's another spirit. Because the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. He don't make you do nothing. Amen. He can, he'll nudge you. Come on, say amen. When the presence of God, really come on you, it don't be no over. It be so beautiful. Who know what I'm talking about? When that thing come on you and you can't do nothing but cry. I'm talking about them. My God. All right. So humble themselves. So had Jesus turned the stones into bread, he would have been operating in pride. Because he would have been trying to show off who he was. And don't ever allow people to get you. And I don't mean this in a vulgar way. So I'm going to say it like this. Don't never allow people to get you in a peeing contest. The old folks say another word. But I'm going to say peeing. Don't ever let nobody have you sitting around trying to prove who you are. I know who I am whether you accept it or not. And when you know who you are, you don't got to prove yourself to nobody. Say amen. Can we keep going? So we got to get to that place now You know, God could have escaped many situations, but it would have been pride for him to exalt himself. So he humbled himself and took upon himself the form of a servant. And I want to say this, when you got a business, when you got a ministry, when you got a gift, and you go to promoting yourself, and you say, I got to let people know who I am, and you passing out all these cards because folk can do this and do that, I'm telling you, when you get to promoting yourself and you get to saying, I got to take care of me, I don't have nobody to take care of me, I got to look out for me, I got to protect me, I got to watch out for me, I ain't got nobody that's going to look out for me, if you going to do it, what God going to do? Church so quiet. Ephesians chapter 6. You got to stop that. Everything we're doing, we got to do it as unto the Lord. We got to stop doing stuff for people to see us. Amen. Stop doing things for people to see you. Stop walking and doing stuff to impress people and to impress the pastor and to impress the preacher or to impress the sister or the brother. Listen, y'all need to stop being fake. Look at somebody and say, be real. I want to say this to you. I am mature enough to know that it is impossible to be in a room full of people and everybody like each other. I don't care how much I preach on honor. I don't care how much I preach on love. I got enough sense to know everybody looking at me don't love me. I got enough sense to know that everybody sitting next to you don't love you. I got sense enough to know everybody raising their hand, speaking in tongues, don't care nothing about you. Now, I want to say this to you. Now, if you are call yourself a child of God and you got issues, when you're talking about, I don't do that, sister. All right, you need to get to find you an altar. You know, I love everybody, but you know, I don't do her and I don't talk to them. And y'all, now listen to me. That stuff ain't God. Probably can't preach. Amen. That stuff is not God. All right? And I'm telling you, we need to learn how not to be fake. I'm not telling you to sit in church. If you got a problem with somebody, okay, don't be fake. Don't be sitting there smiling in their face. When you know you don't like them, you need to make sure when you smiling for real. When you're sitting there smiling and you done came up with a whole plan and you done had a whole conversation, talking on the phone, killing somebody, they gonna come and just shake their hand. I love you. Something wrong with you. Amen. That's not normal. That's not normal. And anybody know that about anybody know anything about Prophet Khan? If I got a problem, I cannot just sit up here and act like everything fine and dandy and finna sit up here and smile and like, ooh, praise the Lord, sister, and praise the Lord. No, I heard you said something. Come on, we need to have a conversation. And if I, you know, some people be telling you not to say nothing, so you can't say nothing. You just start hitting around it. When you heard somebody say something about you, when you get in the room with them, just start hitting around the conversation. You're like, folk be saying something about you, and they don't even know what they're talking about. Yeah, because I heard somebody say it. They say, oh, for real? Yeah, they did. Yeah. They know you're talking about them. Say amen. Ephesians 6 and 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Now notice this. The Bible says this has nothing to do with spiritual. It says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Now I want y'all to see this.
if God commands you to obey your natural boss, how much more respect you think you're supposed to have for your spiritual leader? Period. Servants, obey. Not question, not tell them what you think, what the Lord told you. No. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, but you're not doing it as unto them. See, the reason that you are disobedient is because you think you are obeying a man. I have to remove the man and see Christ there. And if Christ tells me to do something, I don't go back and forth with what Christ tells me to do. This church is quiet tonight. Verse 6. Not with our service as man pleases, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Verse 7. Look at what the word of God said. With good will, doing service as to the Lord. Verse 8. And not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. God said, if you do it, guess what? I'm going to pay you back. Amen, church. How many of y'all know payday coming after a while? Say amen to that. Come on, let's go to Proverbs chapter 13. Do it as unto the Lord. You have somebody in here that's in a position of authority. They tell you to do something. You don't want to do it. See it as God telling you. I don't care for them. All right, you ain't got to care for them. But I hope you care for God. Say amen. Amen. I was telling somebody that the other day. God commands. God commands. This is the word of God, church. It's the word. If I'm going to be saved, I got to submit to this. Now, hear me good. Hear me real good. Here we go. When I tell you to submit to your pastor, when I tell you to obey them to have rule over you, when I tell a wife to submit to their husband, when I tell a husband to love their wife, okay, I'm not making up nothing. Who they need to take it up with? They take it up with Jesus. But you can't read the Bible and not submit to me. There's no way. There's no way you're going to read this Bible and study and be all in it and cross over to one that say, obey them to have rule over you. Where that's at? See, I didn't write this.
Thank you for listening to the Prophetic Radio Broadcast with Prophet Brian Karn. We invite you to join us at a Kingdom City church near you. Come worship with us at KCC Charlotte in Charlotte, North Carolina, every Sunday and Tuesday at 7 p.m., meeting at Progressive Baptist Church, 1600 Clanton Road in Charlotte, North Carolina, or at KCC St. Mary's in St. Mary's, Georgia, every Sunday at 10 a.m. and Thursday at 7 p.m. at 124 Industrial Drive, St. Mary's, Georgia. Call 1-833-522-5433. Or 1-855-984-2276, or visit us at kccharlotte.org or briankarn.com for more information and to sow a seed into the ministry. More grace, we're excited about your future.